Please do take a seat. Thank you for leading us in that song. So, as we heard, the Israelites, with Joshua leading them, were on a roll. They had crossed the Jordan, we heard about that last week, and then they went on to trash the city of Jericho. We will hear about that next week. And after that, they then went on to defeat another major king and the people, the king of Ai. And they thought they were doing really well for themselves. Their covenant with God had been renewed, so they're happy about that. They had these major victories under their belts. They were moving forward, and they had every reason to have cheer and celebrate. The other kings in those lands, just down the road, the other kings, they had every reason to be worried. They were scared. They saw the news trending on Twitter and knew that it was them next. So they did the obvious thing. They banded together. They formed a coalition to stand together in war against the advancing Israelite forces. They formed a coalition except for one people, the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites took a different tack. They said, rather than face them in war, let's kind of see if we can make a treaty with them, but they probably won't want to make a treaty with us because we're just down the road. So let's see if we can send a delegation and pretends that we're from a far-off land. So we'll dress up in our tatty clothes, we'll make sure they're torn, we'll wear our worn-out sandals, we'll make it look like we try to mend them on the way, and they'll be ragged and badly sewn together. We'll choose old wineskins with just a little bit of a sediment in the bottom, and we'll take with us some moldy bread and some dry stuff. We'll put sand in our ears and up our noses and stuff, to make it look like we have been trekking for weeks. And so they did this, and they go to Joshua, where they go to the people, and they say the cliche line, take me to your leader. They take them to Joshua, and they say, look, man, we've been on the road for weeks. Look, you can see our provisions. All we've got left is this dry, moldy bread, just a few crumbs. We've barely got any wine left. It's old wineskins. We've had to mend our sandals on the way several times. And I'll tell you, we've got sand. We've got sand in places in our body where you don't want sand. We've been traveling so long. And the people and Joshua, they quizzed them. They gave them a bit of interrogation. So where are you really from? So where you come? What do you want? So they went, we just want peace with you. We've heard about the greatness of your God. It sounds awesome. We want to just live in peace. We won't harm you. You won't harm us. It'll be great. We're from miles away. Question is Joshua and the people, are they going to fall for it? Well, we're going to pause at this point and actually move into our communion. And so I'm going to ask Julian if he can come and take a seat, and Phil can come and join me as well. That's fantastic. Psalm number 42 reads, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Let us stop. Let's pause. Allow yourself to be still. Recognize your own needs of the presence of the living God. The same poem goes on in verse 8. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Let's pray. Father God, we put our hope in you. We will yet praise you, our Saviour and our God. May it be true for us that you direct us in your love. And even at night, your song is with us. Because we put ourselves in your presence, God. Jesus had once told the crowd of people, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son will give you." "I am the bread of life," he went on. "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Knowing his own time was drawing to an end, he gathered his closest followers for a last meal together. And using the simplest of elements, Jesus took bread and broke it, saying, "Remember my body, which will be broken for you." For the wrongs that you have done, my body is broken, that they may be taken away. A sacrifice that I make for you to be made holy. This bread is my flesh, that you may feed on me and have eternal life with God. I'm going to ask Phil to give thanks for the bread this morning.
Thank you, Father, that we can come to this table and that we can remember you as we take this bread, your body broken on the cross. Lord, may we just take time to think of your grace, your love, the power of the cross, and what you did for us. Amen.
Those words together, I thirst and then drink. I thirst. Jesus had said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." Jesus demonstrated and proved that this was no idle promise. For 3 days after his own body had been laid dead in a tomb, he was alive. He appeared to his followers in a locked room, saying, "Peace be with you," breathing on them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit, the life-giving breath of God." Appearing to his followers one last time in physical form, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." God's presence with us by his Spirit until he comes again. We're going to continue with a story at the moment, so please do take a seat. The communion offering will come in the last song of the eventual songs that we will get to sing. So we were in this story with Joshua and the Israelites on a roll, and these Gibeonites, sneaky, huh? Come with this story. "Oh, we're from a far off land. Look, sand all over the place, moldy bread." Would they fall for it? Well, the key thing for us to know at this crucial point of the story, with Joshua interviewing these travelers, the key thing for us to know is that at that crucial point, Joshua and the Israelites didn't inquire of the Lord. They didn't ask God. They didn't pause for his presence. They didn't inquire. They looked at the evidence and they said, "Okay, we'll make a covenant with you. We'll swear an oath that we would never attack you. We will let you alone and you can go in peace. And so after doing that, with probably some formalities to solidify that covenant, the travelers set off. Well, it was only 3 days later that someone in the Israelite camp was checking their Instagram feed. And they had started following one of the travelers. And they noticed a picture of them. And they thought, hang on a minute. That's not from miles away. That's from the next town. That's where they really live. They've deceived us. How can they do that? We and all the people should go immediately and attack. Well, Joshua would not let them do that. He wanted to keep his word and keep the oath sworn before God. So the people started grumbling. We've been deceived. That's not fair. You messed it up. All that stuff. But Joshua said, no, we can't attack. We'll go up. And said, why have you deceived us? Well, of course, they said, well, we heard about God and taking us and we were scared. Just, no, there's loads of questions raised by this episode. We can't explore them all. Some really hard theological questions. But I want to just highlight one thing. So they say, look, okay, you know, do to us whatever. And so Joshua says, well, now you will be our woodcutters and our water carriers. In other words, you will be our slaves. Now, here's a problem. Think about this. The Israelites, what had they been set free from? Slavery in Egypt. They'd come out by the grace of God, God doing mighty works. They'd come across the Jordan to go into the promised land, and now they were slave drivers. From oppressed to oppressors. That doesn't sound like kingdom life to me. God doesn't set us free from oppression so that we can then oppress. It's not the idea. It's a big mistake. How did they get it so wrong? Well, they didn't inquire of the Lord. What makes us think that we're any more clever? What makes us think that we're any better than they were back then in the day? What makes us think that we can go forwards into anything or into a task or an activity, whatever you want to think of? What makes us think that we can go forward into that without first deliberately pausing and inviting in the presence of God? What makes us think that we can come and do a service like this? What makes us think that we can lead a session of 2x2 with parent and toddler? What makes us think that we can go into a leadership team tomorrow evening? What makes us think that we can do any of those activities without first pausing and inviting the presence of God? And I don't mean just having a quick classic evangelical, Lord, will you bless our time together prayer, but actually a meaningful pause where we wait and ask for the presence of God to reinvest in our lives right then, ready for the activity. What makes us think that we can do any of those things without first doing that? What makes us think that we can go into tomorrow morning where we might be sending our children off to school or going ourselves to work to jump in the car or get on the train to go into that meeting or to meet some people or maybe to have that confrontation that we know we need to have or to just come alongside someone? What makes us think that we can do any of those things without first pausing intentionally meaningfully to invite the presence of God. What makes us think we could do that? Now, we all know what it's like to have the pressure of work. We all know what it's like to have work overload. We all know what it's like when the deadlines are looming large and there is more and more work for us to do. But in those times, what makes us think that we can do a trade? What makes us think that somehow we can trade our time spent deliberately waiting on God, or our time spent praying with others, a trusted other Christians, or even our time coming together in a more bigger corporate worship like this? What makes us think that we can trade that time for time spent doing more work and it would go well, or it would be efficient? What makes us think we can do that trade? What makes us think that we can get through a single day or get through a single forward step without first pausing and inviting the presence of God to be with us, to inquire of God? What makes us think that we can do any of that? Can we not learn a lesson from Joshua and the Israelite people who, to be honest, had got cocky? They had this wonderful victory, but actually read the story carefully. Go back, what we're reading this morning is in Joshua chapter 9. Homework, track back to Joshua chapter 5 and read through 5, 6, 7, 8, and end into 9. You'll see that after the defeat of Jericho, they charged ahead to go and try and fight against the king of Ai. You'll see that actually, at first, it did not go well because there was trouble in the Israelite camp. Trouble that they first had to sort out and then had another go. You'll see that after they had crossed the Jordan, like we had heard about last week, they were able to renew the covenant. Remember, they gathered these stones and they made this memorial cairn, and there's this great covenant renewal moment. It's fantastic. But then with the business of a king of Ai and things going wrong, then you'll find at the end of chapter 8, they had to renew the covenant because things had already quickly gone so wrong. Let's learn from their mistakes and try and set about doing things different and better. And that's why we embedded the communion in the middle of the story, at that crucial point where they should have but didn't inquire of the Lord. Because surely if we are a people, we are a people only and because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We are the people of Jesus. And it is only because of what he has done and then is able then to still do through us that we can be a people and do anything. Which is why we keep coming back to rehearsing that story through the communion and the simple way we do it. That it's about Jesus and what he has achieved. And we need to be locked in to that story, locked in to the presence that is now possible because of what God in Jesus has achieved. We have to keep recalibrating ourselves, resetting ourselves to be in the new covenants that God has made possible for us. And we can barely afford to take a single step without reminding ourselves of that covenant and asking for the presence of God to be with us as we make that step. So what practical things, as you face Monday morning, tomorrow morning, might you do? If we go to the next slide, please, Ron. These are just some... one up from that, please. There we go. Just some simple things. And these contribute to two of the four habits. Remember, we talk about four habits, and they contribute to the discipline of off. So just have these simple prayers as you deliberately do the discipline of off, and also the other of the four habits that we contribute to is that ever closer to Jesus. As you deliberately desire to be closer to Jesus today than you were yesterday, you might want to employ these habits. So the first is just to use a simple prayer, like, come Holy Spirit, my senior partner, we're going to be in business together today, but you're the boss. That's the prayer of the pastor Paul Yonggi Cho, who pastored the largest church in the world. Every morning he prays that prayer, come Holy Spirit, be my senior partner in our operations today. Or the breath prayer that I mentioned in the communion, which you can design to say in one breath, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Or use some other prayers. There's plenty of resources out there. A resource that some of you would have come across are these little cards there. Prayers in a kind of a Celtic spirituality format. And they've got different prayers for different points of the day, for breakfast, for going off to work, for lunchtime, for tea time, for finishing off the day, for going to bed. And some other prayers for some different moods. You might want to start using them. Don't try and use them all. Just pick on maybe two or three. But punctuate your day, deliberately pausing and saying, Father, Son, and Spirit, be part of my life at this point going forward. I don't want to go forward without you. So they're in two formats. They're either in individual cards or they're in this kind of unfold sheet form. You can choose whichever works for you, or you can download it from the website, have it on your phone. I'll leave them at the back later. Different things that you can use, but establish some simple ritual that you get into a habit, but don't let it just become an autopilot habit, because it's a meaningful pause inviting the presence of God into what you do. Karen and I have this little ritual where we are privileged that we can do this. I know that not every one of you would be able to do this, but in the morning, after we've both had our breakfast and tea and all that stuff, we then go for a little walk, just short walk around the block, and then we land back and we pray together. Might be just 90 seconds, but it's praying, anticipating the day ahead. Lord, show us who you want us to talk to in 2x2 this morning. Lord, show us how we are going to do that mentoring session or whatever. Just quick, but it's there. We dare not start the day without it. If we go to the next picture, I love this picture. This might not be so clear, but it was sent through on Facebook from a friend of ours in Africa. And it's a load of bus drivers in Kenya. I'm not sure whether it's Nairobi or somewhere, and I don't know if it's the bus station or the depot. It doesn't really matter. The people you see on their knees praying are the bus drivers at the start of their day, at the start of their shift, praying together, calling on God for their day's bus driving, for the day ahead. Asking for safety, asking for it to pan out okay. Now, you might be looking at that picture and think, well, that looks great, but it looks a bit extreme. It looks a bit wacky, but they're there on their knees in the dirt, some with arms in the air. Well, you might think it's a bit extreme, you might think it's a bit wacky, but I want to ask you, I want to ask you, are we really so much better? Are we really so much clever? Are we any way more spiritual that we are above that? We don't need to be kneeling in the dirt, raising our hands in prayer to get through the day. Is that the case? Really? That we don't need to be calling on God and, if necessary, on our knees in the dirt to ask God to lead us through the day. Margaret's Kate's just gone out. She literally just went through the door. So he's not here today. He's not here today. So yeah, have a seat and listen, and we'll get through the rest of it. That's it. Are we really above needing that? Let's be honest about that. Establish rituals that enable us to invite the presence of God, to go forwards into the day ahead. Establish rituals in whatever you do that asks God to be with us. See, this is an interesting story with Joshua and the Israelites. And I first titled it Deception, because they were deceived. And I could talk about different ways in which there's deception going on, and deception that I think I see in our culture and our society here in Ely today. I was praying into that during the sabbatical. I've got things to say about that. Maybe I'll say some of those things next week, or it'll just have to be parts for a future day. It'll have to be parts, because more important than understanding those potential attack vectors of deception, more important of understanding that is the importance of our understanding of our need for the continual presence of God. Our need to pause and invite and welcome him in to our lives, day by day, hour by hour, step by step. I'm going to invite the musicians to take their places, and if we're able, I'm going to invite us to stand together. Let us pause, let us intentionally, meaningfully invite his presence among us in a fresh and dynamic and profound way, which will lead into these songs, the last of which will take the communion offering. But don't worry about that now, let's concentrate on his presence. That'll come when we get there. Spirit of God, come, Holy Spirit. And be with us. Minister among us. May we know you, Lord. Pour out among us, Lord. Well up in us the healing that we need. It's not like God is not sitting there with a big stick waiting to catch us out, waiting to clobber us, but it's an invitation. He's waiting for us to jump into his lap, to gaze on us, to delight in us, to pour into us his love. So let that flow among us afresh this morning, as we stand here, or we sit, or we wait, and we call on you, Lord. Spirit, come. Let your healing flow, Lord. Your restoring, Lord, come. Come among us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Let's just bask in his presence and allow him to heal.